2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Paul says, "We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, it's interesting, the word men there. He's not saying we persuade men and not women. That would be pretty chauvinistic, pretty unfair. The word that's used there, and I mention it one reason, because we're going to see the same word somewhere else as well. It's a Greek word. I only mention the Greek word because we have a related word that's used in our society. The word is anthropos, and that's the Greek, and from it we get anthropology, which is the study of man. And again, it does not mean man exclusive of women. It means the study of mankind. The word itself means human beings, means people, means mankind. So Paul is saying, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade people. We persuade human beings to obey the gospel, to become Christians. Persuade. Word persuade signifies to apply persuasion, to prevail upon or win over, to bring about a change of mind by the influence of reason or moral considerations. Only persuaded people change. And God persuades people to change by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 21. Not going to read the whole text, but Paul says, "To us who are being saved, it," that is the message of the cross, "is the power of God." He goes on to say, "It pleased God through the message preached to save those who believe." Not by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, not by experiences, not by feelings, not by pressure tactics, not by guilt trips, not by testimonies, by the Word of God. People can be persuaded, if you will, by the example in the life of another because that person is living the gospel message, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, but they still have to learn what that message is. They still have to obey that message. We're going to give consideration to this statement made by Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 11. I'm convinced that how we feel about persuading others about the gospel of Christ says something about the kind of faith that we have and how much we, in fact, are persuaded about the gospel itself. This is not going to be a how-to lesson in evangelism. It's going to be more of a why lesson than it is going to be how-to. It will deal with other aspects as well. But Paul said, we persuade people. We persuade men. Some translations say we try to persuade others. That's the idea there. What is it that people need to be persuaded about? Well, they need to be persuaded about their sins, the fact that they have missed the mark, the fact that they stand guilty before God. When Jesus was talking to the apostles in John 16, verse 8, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, the helper. He says, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin. This is always done through the Word. You recall that in Acts chapter 10, an angel appeared to Cornelius. Cornelius was a righteous man, but he didn't know the gospel. The angel could have easily told him, instead of the few things that he said to him, he could have told him what to do to be saved. He didn't do that. He said, somebody's going to come to you, or rather you send men who are going to bring this individual to you, Peter the apostle, and he's going to tell you words as you go into chapter 11 and see the count being recounted. He's going to tell you words by which you must be saved. He's going to tell you what you need to do. This angel didn't save Cornelius. He didn't send the Holy Spirit down directly to save Cornelius. He used a man to come and speak to him the words. When the Lord sent Philip to the eunuch, same thing. Lord or an angel or any other method could have been used to speak directly to the eunuch. Instead, Philip was spoken to. Philip was sent to go and talk to this man. Romans 3 verse 23 says, all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our point here. Men need to be persuaded about their sins. All men have sinned. Sometimes people try to convince a person how good it feels to be a Christian, how wonderful it is. That's interesting in view of some passages. It should be wonderful. It should be joyful. But if somebody gets the idea that everything's going to be smooth sailing and fine and happy and no problems exist. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus, speaking to the apostles again in John 15:20, said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You don't do people favors by suggesting to them that God could really use somebody like you. You'd be a great benefit to the kingdom of God. Or by giving them all the reasons they should obey the gospel, you'll have peace and contentment. That ties in with what I just said a minute ago. Man must see himself as God sees him, a sinner. Somebody says, well, people need to know that God loves them. Well, that's true. We would call that the good news of Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for your sins. And that forgiveness of sins is possible only in Christ. But that just brings us right back to the point that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we don't recognize that fact, we cannot be saved. When Nathan was sent to David to speak to David, said to him very plainly, you are the man. Didn't try to tell him what kind of a good king he was and how wonderful of a life he'd lived and all these good things balance out the bad. You are the man, and there's a time and a place for that. John the Baptizer said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have her. Peter said to those on Pentecost, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. We will never see the need to correct something unless we're convinced that it needs to be corrected. People need to be persuaded about their Savior. Jesus is the remedy for man's sins. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. The angel speaking to Joseph, speaking about Mary, said, she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. There's no other way of salvation. Jesus said in John 8:24, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Acts 4, verse 12, Peter said, there's no other name given, no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Men need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. People need to be persuaded about their accountability before God. You must answer to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, our text, that particular portion of the passage says, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word appear there, even though it's used in 38 of 59 translations in the English, I understand it's a poor translation. It's not a strong enough word for the true meaning. It implies only presence, that you are there at the judgment seat. All men must appear. You got to be there. Greek interlinear renders it to be revealed. All men must be revealed before the judgment seat. Vine says it means to be made manifest. Most translations do say appear. There are several that say manifest, openly revealed, laid bare, to be showed. The important fact is that we will be there, we will appear there to be revealed as we really are when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is accountability. People need to be persuaded about the judgment to come. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We must all appear or be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Hebrews 9:27 says that all men will die, and after this, the judgment. Romans 14:12 says, then each of us must give account of himself to God. Acts 17:30 and 31, Paul speaking at Athens, said, God now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He will judge the world in righteousness. These statements imply consequences to our actions, consequences of sin. Knowing the terror of the Lord, he said in verse 11, we persuade men. Well, how is it that men are to be persuaded? They're to be persuaded with the Word of God. Even though this is referring to an Old Testament situation, Christ lived and died under the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31, I think that gives a good depiction of the power of the Word. Chapter 27 through 31, this is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. We understand that both of them died and went into the next realm, which is the realm of Hades, as it's referred to here. Lazarus is on the side identified by Christ as paradise. Rich man is on the side of torment. And he addresses Abraham, and then he says in verse 27, I beg you that you would send Lazarus back from the dead to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the teachings of God. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. The gospel is God's power to salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Men use all kinds of methods, all kinds of means, all kinds of things to try to draw people to the Lord. But if people are going to come to God, it will only be through the gospel. It is called the word of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. To reconcile means to change from enmity to friendship. Somebody says, what is enmity? Well, I just like to think of it as enemy. But the word means a state of deep-seated ill will. So to change someone from a state of deep-seated, that's why it's better to just say enemy. To change someone from being an enemy to friendship. Romans 5:10 uses the word, but it gives an idea within the verse itself of the meaning of the word. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, if while we were enemies, God's enemies rather, we were reconciled to him, brought from a state of being an enemy to one of friendship through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Men come to Christ only as they hear and learn the word of God. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. I'll raise him up at the last day." Well, how does he draw? He explains that in the next verse. "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me." So men need to be persuaded of their sins. They need to be persuaded of their Savior. They need to understand what method, what means is used to reach out to people, to persuade people. But who is it that's to be doing this persuading? Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 that it's faithful Christians. We're going to encounter our word again that we saw earlier. Paul says, "The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men," is what the translations say. Several King James, New King James, New American Standard, faithful men who will be able to teach others also. New International Version renders that to reliable people, which is a better rendering. There are about a half a dozen other translations that say people. That's our word again, anthropos. It means human beings, means people, means mankind. So he's saying, "The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people, to faithful Christians who'll be able to teach others also." It's not the job of some organization. It's not the job of an evangelist per se, him and him alone. It's not the job of the elders alone. If you are a faithful Christian, you will be teaching others as opportunities arise. And it might be better to say it this way. If we are faithful Christians, we will be looking for opportunities to talk to others about the gospel, to teach others in some capacity. The gospel is about changing lives, not about learning more information, not about doing more stuff. It's about changing lives. People need to know that when they come to Christ, they must change their life. Stories told of two butchers who ran a butcher shop together. They were brothers, and both of them cheated people when they weighed the meat. One of them became a Christian. The other brother decided, "Just let me do all the weighing of the meat." And the Christian man went along with that, but he began to try to persuade his brother to become a Christian. Finally, his brother said, "Listen, Charlie, if I become a Christian too, who's going to weigh the meat?" For almost 40 years, I've heard men pray, "Help us reach the lost," or words to that effect. In some instances, I've known that some of those men had never made a single effort to teach somebody the gospel, never made a single effort to invite them to services, and nothing would indicate they ever intended to, or that they seemed concerned about it one way or the other. It's not my place to judge people's hearts. That's not my point. They would continue to mouth the words day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. Most people I've met are really, a lot of people I've met are really kind of open to discussing the Bible or religious matters in general. If you just kind of get there in that direction, a lot of people will talk to you about that. If you're not comfortable teaching them yourself, if you don't think you have the right disposition or you're not comfortable with your knowledge, whatever it may be, try to arrange the study with somebody else. I'm more than glad. I've offered that the first time I preached here I've offered it occasionally since. I know Steve would. I know probably most of the men in here would be glad to study the Bible with them. Invite them to services. Give them our website. Give them a track. Offer them a correspondence course. Something. All of us need to be making some efforts consistently to try to reach the lost. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? We need to be doing that. Let's stand and sing.